Hey, we're back on Downtown. It is 4:31 on a Wednesday afternoon. Rich Kimball, Kerry Haskell, and Bruce Pratt here. And Bruce, time for this week's edition of Sports Lit 101. And again, because it should be baseball season, we're talking baseball books.
Yeah, we're going to do baseball at least the next 3 weeks. And I've already read the books we're going to do after that. But we're going to look at baseball in a sort of a different place. I put on social media earlier, what do Catalpa Trees, today's book, and my 10th grade dorm master have in common? And it's in the sense they're all related to Cuba. Now, we don't have Catalpa Trees up here that I've seen, but in southern New England, it's the northern range of them, and they have a very long seed pod that looks like a giant vanilla bean, or a cigar. And when I was a little kid, when we saw Castro on TV and people were telling us that we shouldn't be like that guy, being kids, of course, we pretended to smoke cigars of those Catalpa seeds that look like cigars, and we'd walk around pretending that that was something we could smoke. Well, I didn't really give Castro that much thought at the time because I was, of course, 7 or 8 years old. But in the 10th grade, my dorm master was a fellow by the name of Melvin Nerona, and he and his wife had fled Cuba and come to Vermont, and he had been a very prosperous man in Cuba and then was teaching and living in a dorm in a small school. And so I've heard a lot of people from different sides talk about Cuba, its history, its relationship to baseball. We've talked a lot about it on the show. This book brings it from a different place because what I did not know was how rabid Cuban women were for baseball, going back to when it started to arrive in Cuba, and that their enthusiasm and the enthusiasm of men for baseball so angered the Spanish that they banned it, because they thought what would happen is that Cubans would want to be more American than Spanish. And I never, that's not something I learned in history. I learned, that somebody blew up the battleship Maine and we had to go fight everybody and end up with a piece of Cuba. So I learned a lot. I knew most of this history, but not all of it. And this is a book about Isabel Lefty Alvarez, who was a pitcher and a player and a good all-around baseball player. And her father, when she was born, her father doesn't pan out to be a very nice man, was a policeman during the Batista years. She and her brother and her mother were doing quite well. That was a job that made you better than just middle class. And then his father lost his job in one of the many times when Batista's power changed. People think of Batista, Fulgencio Batista, as the dictator. He was, but for a very long time, he was just an army guy who ran the government from afar. Well, her mother, Virtudes, V-I-R-T-U-D-E-S, was very ambitious, and she wanted to move to America and to play baseball herself, but knew that would never happen. So she started grooming Lefty for that, and that's what they called Isabel, who was a very, very good baseball player, played with the boys, and was a skilled athlete in many sports. She was also, when she was young, quite attractive, and her mother caught her between two worlds. And the way Isabel talked about it is, I was always confused about what to do, play ball or wear pretty dresses. My mother chose for me, and I'm glad she chose sports. Well, she chose sports, but first she chose the route of trying to make her a beauty queen and thinking that that would lead her to some kind of riches or would lead some very well-to-do man to marry her, and the whole family would somehow miraculously come out of poverty. But what happened instead was, baseball mad Cuba started sending women's teams throughout Latin America and Central America to play tours, barnstorming tours. And as a result, she caught the eye of a scout who brought her to the U.S. to play the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, which we know from the movie A League of Our Own. She played there for a few years. She played in other leagues. She bounced around, but she mostly settled in Indianapolis. Because that's where her first host family was. And when her time in baseball was over, she ended up working for close to 40 years for General Electric. She didn't have the kind of life that her mother expected. Her mother and father were estranged from her. She did go back to Cuba to see them. There's some indication that she had a pretty rough life, but her independence and her spunk and her spirit and her love of baseball make this a wonderful book. It's written by a woman named Kat D. Williams. The first part is heavy on the history, and I would urge anybody who, if they start to read it and you get bogged down there, just get ahead, and you'll find it's a remarkable story, because it's the kind of immigrant story that needs to be told. You know, so many people like to say, you know, my great grandfather came from, as mine did, from France, or from Canada, or they came from Italy, or they came from here and there. They sort of forget the number of really heroic stories of people who came from south of the border. And Isabel is one of them. As the author said, it's a story told through various lenses. There's the lens of what it is to want to become an American. It's a lens of what it is to want to be an athlete. It's through the lens of what it is to not live in fear, to not live in a totalitarian country, to not worry about a knock on the door and your brother or your father or your sister or somebody disappear. And I think in the times we live in, this book has a lot to say to us. And it also has a lot to say about the cultural differences and the fight for independence of Cuban women and the like, too. One must remember that slavery continued in Cuba for, I think, almost 20 years longer than it did here. Women's rights were much slower to accrue to women than here. And so she's really a remarkable character. And it's not because she's a genius, which I think is, she doesn't have to be extraordinary intellectually. She's not. But she's just someone who refused to be held down. And I think it's a time when we can use inspiring stories like that.
No question about it. That sounds like a great read. Bruce, we were talking before we came on, a couple of books that we've talked about are out there in the world, released today.
Yeah, two of the books, Wax Pack, which we talked about and which Alan raved about in a review and in his online Edge review, and Issei Baseball, which we talked about a few weeks back. And we just got today a book that's due to drop, I think, on the 6th of April. It's a very large book. It's an authorized biography of Jim Boughton by Mitchell Nathanson, who's written a number of other books. And one of the people who gives it just the absolute greatest rave review is friend of the show, Dan Epstein, and Marty Appel, the Yankees historian. So this comes highly recommended, and it was done as Boughton was near the end of his life and was beginning to have major cognitive issues. But when other people couldn't get to him, Mitchell Nathanson did, and it's really a good book. Next week, we're talking about Baseball Nation, which is about the nine wooden bat, primarily college student summer leagues. Really cool book by a guy named Wilge Hagen from Rhode Island, who's a writer. And the week after that, Called Out But Safe, the story of Al Clark, the former Major League Baseball umpire, got in a little memorabilia trouble, who was a Little League teammate of Bob Ryan. And Bob Ryan beaned him one day in batting practice by mistake. He was wearing a helmet, and Bob tweeted out to me today that all was well in the end. So next time Bob's on, after we've talked about this book, we'll probably have even some more stories. It's just finished it today. Very good book.
Sounds great. Lots of good stuff coming up here. Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday afternoon here on Downtown.